Test, test. Everybody? Okay. We're good. I think we're good. We ready to go? Ready for blast off? Yeah. All right. Welcome, everyone, to our Wednesday night prayer meeting service. And so good to be here on December 1st. Can you believe it? It is December 1st, and Christmas just right around the corner, and who would have thought that the holidays would have got here so fast and fly right through Thanksgiving on into Christmas, but what a blessing it is. And I was telling Christy the other day, or last night actually, we were going to Lily. She's doing some cheerleading and for basketball, so we were going to go see one of her cheerleading games, her first one. Out in Fairburn, actually, and all the lights from Christmas, everyone decorating. It just brings, for me anyway, it just brings a calm, you know, over me, and appreciate those Christmas lights and everyone decorating. It's just one time a year, so you got to enjoy it. And but anyway, saying that about Christmas, I will go ahead and leave you with a prayer request. We actually got to the game last night, and it was already over when we got there. There was some miscommunications but between the coach and the team and the parents and all that. So make a long story short, one of the girls, Lily and the cheerleading squad, was going to cheer on the boys, the varsity. They couldn't. Something happened to their scheduling, so it was the girls. One of the girls was, going to score a shot, a hoop, and the other team, I think they said, pushed her on the ground, and when she went on the ground, her head bounced off the court, and everybody said it sounded like a bowling ball dropping. And so this young girl, she is an athlete. She plays to win, but they had to take her to CHOA, Children's Health Care of Atlanta, last night. And her name is Zora, and so just help us pray for Zora. She's home resting, but it hurt me thinking about it. But it's part of sports. I hate to say it. There's always injury, could be injury. And so, but anyway, so an eventful night last night. We're here tonight, and just want to relax a little while around God's Word and pray for one another at the same time. And so with that said, we'll get into our prayer list this evening. And let's remember our children's home and our house parents. I think Brother Brian, he's at the lot right now, working away. How's that going, Miss Teresa? Going good. What do you think about all that? Yeah, pretty awesome. I know we've been here 4 years, and so we got in on it 4 years ago, and we felt the same way and still do. Just an awesome operation over there. But let's pray for the lot. Let's pray for Brother Brian and staff and everyone, kids and all. Let's remember them during this time. Ruby Harper, Chuck and C.C. Prestridge, Harold Dolph, Leonard and Dolores Palmer. Their daughter, from what I've read on Facebook, on Monday had that stent removed from her kidney. And all that went well. And everybody else heard the same thing? Brother Don, you hear that? Okay. So we praise the Lord for that. Brother Leonard's going for an x-ray, a follow-up on the 6th and 7th. Not sure if it's both or one or the other. I talked to him on the way out on Sunday morning. But this is a follow-up to check and see where he's at on that cancer. So let's remember Brother Leonard and Miss Dolores. And Miss Marianne, Brother Ed Sanvey, let's remember them. Brother Ed, how's he doing this week?
He's doing. He had a good week this weekend. He's even said a few words this week.
Okay.
He just got up one morning and he said, I love you.
All right.
And he said, Marianne Sanvey, he said, right? He said,
praise the Lord.
Son-in-law.
That's awesome.
And I just hope it's the beginning of something.
Well, We'll take it, won't we? That is awesome. That is awesome. Well, God can do all things, as you know, but you do have a praying church, and you know that as well. And so anybody ever has a need, you know, bring it up, bring it to our attention, and we'll huddle around you, and we'll pray for you. Well, let's continue to remember the Sanvies in our prayers. James and Shirley Townsend, Johnny and Pat Eccles. Miss Pat was here Sunday. Of course, I asked her, did she bring her leg with her? She said she did. Recovering from that that chain wrap around her leg. But remember her and Miss Mary Kelly, the Teagues. Let's remember the Dailies, Miss Dawn, Brother Jim Jr. But also, Brother Jim had texted me before church and prayer for Rebecca and John. And so John still not bouncing back, not doing that good. Actually, he's getting much worse. Don't know how much of that he wants me to share, and so we'll leave it right there. But just remember the Ashworths, the Dailies, Rusty and Chris Watkins, Randy and Janet Bailey, the Tidwells. Remember the Hendersons, Brother David with his hip surgery.
December
27th, Monday after Christmas. How about that? All right. Well, we've been praying for you, but we will zoom in on that date, and we will pray hard for that date. So remember this, Charlie Wilson, Melissa Slagle, Don and Carla Rich. I'm not sure how many know this or not, but they had an earthquake over in Peru. Was that last week? And Brother Don and Miss Carla made it back to Comarca to their place, and I don't believe anything was touched. Everything was fine, praise the Lord. But let's pray for those who may have been touched by that earthquake. And so remember them in your prayers. Claudia Darby, Barbara Anderson, Jenny Clanton, Gerald and Francis Carroll, all of our shut-ins, all of those serving in the military that has came out of the children's home. That is James Tolan Brown and Peyton Cochran. All right. I'll open up the floor to you if you have a request or an update of any kind. Okay, Ms. Sharon. All right. Praise the Lord. That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. That is wonderful. Anyone else?
Miss Sherry's out sick again. She's still dealing with.
Really? Okay. So she did return to. Okay. For those who do not know, Miss Sherry works in the front office at the children's home, and I guess she got COVID a while back and just really hasn't bounced back to full capacity. And so so let's remember Miss Sherry in our prayers. Anyone else? Right.
Both my sons were.
That's true.
I was a deputy skilled just this morning. And Joey and Justin both were. Makes them all nervous.
I'm sure. We'll certainly remember them in prayer and all of our law enforcement. Yeah, law enforcement, that was early on in our marriage, Christy and I. wanted to pastor, but wanted to police as well. And I wrestled with it. And so, anyway, make a long story short, Lily said, "Dad, you're doing what I want you to do. What we want you to do, you're doing what we want you to do." And I remember that it came down to a particular day where I was supposed to go here in Powder Springs to actually take the written exam and all of that, get things started. And Pleasant Hill Baptist called me to come preach that night. And so I said, "Man, if God's not in this, I don't know what he is." And so he made it clear. And so now I'm a policeman from afar. I'm a policeman from the couch when I watch Cops or something like that, you know. Anyway, but let's remember our law enforcement. Anybody else? All right. Well, all that would, meet us in the altar tonight, and we will go to the Lord in a time of silent prayer. And good to see Brother Jeff. I know he has some car difficulties here recently, but he's with us now. Shortly after that, I believe he has a song prepared, so Brother Jeff will play for us. And then we'll bring the message for tonight. Appreciate that, Brother Jeff. You can go ahead and make your way to Luke chapter number 2. Gospel of Luke chapter number 2. And again, let me say that we are just inside December. Just inside December. It is December 1st, Christmas season. And what I want to do tonight, I want to kick off the month of December talking about Christ. And every time that I have talked about the Lord, spoke about Him, preached on Him, He is always blessed and used His Word to do so. And so tonight I want to, again, talk about the Lord, talk about Christ, since He is the reason for the season. And what a blessing and an honor and a joy it is to be able to celebrate Him. And I want to talk about this subject tonight, from the cradle to the cross. From the cradle to the cross. And we're not trying to be poetic or not trying to have a play on words, but I do want to talk about from His birth to His death. And, you know, it's really something that we should talk about all year, the birth of Christ and His life and what He did and how He died. But it's just good that we're in December to bring that to our remembrance once more, the importance of His birth and His life. And so tonight I want to look at three parts when it comes to the subject of from the cradle to the cross. And I want to look at the beginning part of His life. And this has to do with birth to 30 years old. And then I want to look at the middle portion of His life. And this has to do from the age of 30 to 33. And then the end of His life. Of course, this is the death at 33. And then His resurrection. And as we talk about the Lord and His life taking us from His cradle to His cross, there are certainly many, many things that we can take away from it. All kinds of things that we can glean that apply to us as believers and that could help us out along the way. And so tonight, from the cradle to the cross, and let's just dive right in. And so, number one, I want to look at the beginning of His life. And again, this is birth to 30 years old. And under that first point, the beginning of His life, you can make a sub-point if you're taking notes or just listen along. This point, the silent years. The silent years. So the beginning of His life are known as the silent years. Again, birth to 30 years old. In Luke chapter number 3 in verse 23, the Scriptures tell us that Jesus was at 30 years old after John the Baptist stepped up on the scene and announced Him to the world. Jesus was 30 years old. But tonight, the first 30 years, those were silent years. Those were years where not much was said about the Lord. Let me say it this way. During the silent years, birth to 30, before His announcement as the Messiah, there were no miracles being performed by Jesus during those silent years. There was no walking on water during those years, the silent years. There was no raising of the dead. There was really nothing spectacular happening nor taking place during the beginning of His life, the silent period. Again, no miracles, no walking on water, no raising the dead. It was just a time of silence, if you would. And I got to thinking today that we as believers, people in general even in life, definitely experience these silent periods of time, don't we? There's time where there's not much going on in our life. Maybe there's nothing miraculous happening. There's, You know, there's nothing powerful happening. It just seems like it's just business as usual. Maybe we're just spinning our wheels. Well, much in the same manner as the life of Christ, when he just arrived on the scene, and then through his boyhood up until 30, it was just basically silent years. And so tonight, let me go a step further and say, although these were silent years, there were some things beginning to happen during these silent years. There was some activity taking place. I guess I could say it this way, the tail end of something big began to happen during these silent years. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter number 2. And this is the account of the birth of the Lord. And this is what we see from the cradle to the cross during the beginning part of his life, the silent years. Although they were silent years, some things were beginning to happen. Look in verse number 1, Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, or enrolled, or a census taken. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. So everyone had a report to their own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You've heard the story down through the years, just like I have, the birth of Jesus Christ. We know it was prophesied and spoken of in the Old Testament time and time again. One place I like to look is Micah 5:2. Tells us about this Christ child, this Messiah that will be born in Bethlehem. And so we see that played out here. But what I want to call your attention to is this Caesar Augustus and the innkeeper. Because Caesar Augustus had no idea, in my estimation, had no idea that he was actually an agent that God was using to bring to pass prophecy. In verse number 1, it tells us that this Caesar Augustus wanted all the world to be taxed or enrolled or a census taken so that they can get a number of the population in each place. And so that initiated Joseph and Mary to come to Bethlehem because of this decree that was sent out. And so the decree was sent out, and here we have Joseph, and here we have Mary, pregnant by the Holy Ghost with the Lord Jesus, right at, what is it called? There's the first trimester, second and third, right at the, would be the third trimester. Some say it's coincidence. Some say, well, it just happened. No, I don't believe it's coincidence. I don't believe it just happened. I believe it was God's plan. And I believe within God's plan, God used Caesar Augustus to speed it up right on track. And so here they come to Bethlehem. And the Bible says in verse number 6, and so it was that while they were there, was it a mistake? Was it by chance? But it was according to the word of the Lord. While they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And here's what I want us to see, first of all, is that sometimes in life we go through silent periods where not much is going on. And it seems like we're just spinning our wheels. But could it be that God is beginning some kind of work in our life? Could it be that God is continuing a work that He started in our life at salvation? Could it be that? I think about different things in life that I don't know, that I'm not comfortable with. I think about uncomfortable situations. I think about situations and times where it was very stressful and hard to deal with. Could those situations be agents that God was using in my life and your life to bring the past, the bigger picture? Because that's what we see in the life of Christ. He went from the cradle to the cross. But that first 30 years, nothing was really mentioned of any magnitude. No miracles, no raising of the dead, no walking on water, nothing spectacular. The only thing that was taking place was the beginning of something great. The day came where Caesar Augustus made this decree, and Joseph knew he had to go back home. And while they were there, the babe came. And so this was an earmark to them. This was a definite occasion where Scripture was fulfilled. And of course, they were rejoicing along with everyone else that the babe was born. There's definitely times in life where it seems that things are just happening. Nothing grand or glorious is happening. But God will allow us to experience a little bit of what He's doing. If I could say it this way, in drops. A little bit here, He explains what He's doing. A little bit there, He manifests His purpose for us. No matter how old or how young we are, as long as we're alive and breathing, God has a purpose and God has a plan. And through our times of mundaneness, during our times where we're just grinding day in and day out and nothing spectacular is happening, I believe God is using that somehow, some way, in some measure, to bring about the bigger picture. And so Caesar Augustus, he was an agent. But then the innkeeper was an agent. Look in verse 7 again. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, or a trough that animals eat out of, because there was no room for them in the inn. And so here's Joseph going to the inn for him and Mary and the babe. And I can just see him maybe knocking on the door. Hello? Any vacancies? Hello? Anybody in there? Any vacancies? And the innkeeper just, he flies the door open and says, "I'm sorry, sir. I'm busy here. There are no vacancies. Everything is occupied. There is no room in the inn here for you. So you have to leave." And so in my mind, I see rejection here. Rejection. I mean, who wouldn't want their espoused wife and child to be in a warm place, you know, out of the elements, but yet they were rejected and they had to leave because there was no room? How many times in life do we have to deal with rejection? Anybody ever been rejected before? And the feelings that come with being rejected. Maybe it was a job you didn't get that you wanted to get. Or maybe it was, I don't know, a spot in ministry at some church or this church and it didn't pan out like we thought it would. Rejection. Maybe it's from a family member or some unforeseen circumstance where you were rejected or you're feeling rejected. Could it be that that particular situation is something that God is using to write your story in a much bigger way? Well, I think so. I think as we see this innkeeper telling Joseph that there's no room in the inn, well, it just drove them to the field. It drove them to the field. And in fact, when the babe was born and was laid in a manger, it was actually said to the shepherds that you'll find a babe lying in a manger. And so Jesus was born where He was supposed to be born. It wasn't anything high and mighty. It wasn't some palace or castle. It wasn't even in a motel room. But it was out in the open field. It was in a manger where there's animals and the smell of animals. And under God's shining stars, that's where the babe was born. You know, I remember one time where I believe it was with Floyd Road, and it was part of the homeless ministry they had. And we went to Marietta Square one night to reach out to some homeless people. It was on a night. Normally it's on a Saturday in the morning. But there was a homeless man I was talking to, and we got to talking about the gospel. And he says, you know, God, the Lord, Jesus, he just doesn't relate to me. And I remember what I said, even to this day. I said, oh, yeah, he does. Yes, he does. I said, he was born in an open field. I said, he was born in a manger. I said, you want to know why he was born in a manger in the open field under the elements? So he could relate to you that are homeless. He's like, man, I never heard like that before. And I was kind of surprised myself. Lord, have me say that. But truly tonight, truly, Jesus was born where he was supposed to be born. But there were these things that were involved that kind of initiated his birth, getting to Bethlehem. It took Caesar Augustus and that decree. It took the rejection of the innkeeper. And so while these were silent years, there was a bit of activity taking place. Take heart tonight. God is always up to something in your life and mine. We see things as slow progression. I mean, you don't even know the world's turning right now, but it is. You know the world is spinning right now on its axis? We can't see it, can we? We can't feel it. If we did, I'd probably get nauseated and sick. But the world is turning right now. But you don't realize it's turning. What a wonderful truth when it comes to Jesus and God in his providence, in how he works, because much of the time we go through our days not even, I mean, we're not sensing anything great. Most of the time, you know, we're not leaving the house on a spiritual high, shouting from the mountaintops. You know, nothing like that. There's no miracles taking place most times. But just as the world's spinning, God is doing something in your situation. He's doing something in my situation. The painful times, they're agents. The times of setback are agents. The times when I feel like I've failed and blown it all and God's just going to throw me away, even failure can be an agent in my life and your life to bring us to the bigger picture. It takes all of that. I was thinking about, Brother Don could probably give you a better illustration than I could, but I was thinking about trees, and I was thinking about specifically the peach tree. I've read when the time you plant the little tree or the seed, however it starts out, I guess it's a, you tell me, Brother Don, is it a seed or is it a small tree? There you go. From a rooting of some kind. But from the very beginning until the time there's actually a peach tree with peaches, where I read it takes at least 4 years, many more years even for other trees. I mean, if we're talking about a tree growing from nothing, it's going to take probably beyond 4 years. But then there comes a day when the fruit comes. It was there the whole time. It just had a process it had to go through. So is in our life. There are prayers maybe you've been praying that hasn't come to pass yet. Prayers I've been praying that hasn't come to pass yet. Things in my life where I need God to move and work. And our job is just keep the faith because God's working on his end. It's just slowly moving just like the world's turning. And we just can't tell it. Tonight, keep the faith. During the silent times of life, during the slow times, keep the faith. And so we see here that there are these agents used and not a whole lot going on other than the beginning of something great. Now, we see the activity of the Lord's birth, God was working silently. This has to do with providence during silent times. But something else, turn over to verse number 40. There's a second kind of activity that was taking place during the silent years. Not only providence, but progression. We see the activity of the Lord's boyhood. He began to grow in maturity. Look in verse number 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. It says strong in spirit, emotionally and mentally and spiritually, he was growing strong. Now this was a progression. Notice the word grace here. It means favor. It means the spiritual condition of one governed by the power of divine grace. And so he was growing strong in spirit. There was emotions that had a cure. There was a mental capacity that had to span. There was a spirituality that had to be discovered and strengthened. And then the grace of God was guiding him and governing over his life. This was a progression. This was the activity of the Lord's of his boyhood. So during the silent years, there was growth, like that tree we're talking about. He had to get strong in spirit as the grace of God governed him. You and I, the Lord wants to strengthen us emotionally. A lot of times life gets slow because God wants us to deal with our emotions. I know He does me. I remember when we first started in ministry, the least little thing would make me angry and upset. I take everything personal. Everything. You know, here I was at Zion View Baptist Church and just starting out. You know, didn't know anything about pastoring other than what I've observed from Brother Berman. And so, you know, anything. Somebody say something negative and it would just make me discouraged. I just get so discouraged over that for weeks at a time. And so there was a period of time where, and still now, but I had to grow strong in spirit. I had to learn to keep my eyes on Jesus and not on man. Yes, love man, but keep my eyes on Jesus. And one of the hardest things to do in life, I've discovered, really, for I'm guessing it would be for anybody that has any kind of pride in what they do, is to not take anything personal. If you have pride in your life, good pride, you work hard, you do what you do because you're doing it with purpose, and then someone says something to you against that, it's hard not to get defensive. Am I the only one? I mean, you work hard on something, and somebody comes by and says, oh, that could be better. It's hard to take it like Jesus and say, well, thank you for that critique. You know, I'll get better at that. Because you value what you do, and you do what you do on purpose. And so, really, this process doesn't stop no matter how young or old we get. The emotional aspect, the mental aspect, growing strong in spirit, God will slow things down to a good tempo for you and I so that we can learn how to deal with these things in our emotions. I can remember just starting out again and really back to Floyd Road, and I don't apologize for this, but I had to learn how to deal with, again, my emotions. But even in a church service, I would feel the Lord touch me, and I'd get so emotional. I mean, Nancy knows. I would be in the choir and I would literally explode. And it was a good thing. I mean, it blessed the church, I think. I mean, just getting excited. And I don't want to stop getting excited. But what I'm saying is this. I would just cry and cry. I would get to clapping my hands, and I'd bust off a few watches in the choir. And some of that's okay, but what I'm saying is I'm an emotional man, and my emotions can get the best of me if I ain't careful. church, outside of church, just cry over things. You know? And so I knew, there came a point, though, I knew where I had to reel in those emotions a bit, because there was a job to do. There was a mindset I had to keep. And while the praise is still in me, and it gets released as the Lord wants it released, at the same time, I had to learn how to hold it in a bit. Not much, but just a bit. Because there's a job to do. There's a race to run. And again, not just talking about church, but in life in general. Strong in spirit. And so that's what's happening with Jesus here. It was the silent years, but he was growing and he was maturing. And he was growing strong in spirit, emotionally and mentally and spiritually. And the Bible says, and the grace of God was upon him. And so we see the activity of the Lord's boyhood. The Lord grew into maturity. And he, somewhere along that way, I'm thinking 12, 13, I know he was in the synagogues and he was teaching doctrine. He realized his purpose. There came a time where he realized his purpose. I mean, when he was born, he was a baby. And then a toddler. I'm pretty sure at that point he didn't fully understand messiahship as a baby and a toddler. And then a tween. You know what a tween is? In between a toddler and a teen. A tween. Jesus was a tween at one point. Jesus was a teen at one point. And it was somewhere along in there, the tween, in my estimation, as he grew strong in spirit, that he realized that he was this Messiah. And he had a job to do. And he was here on a mission. But all through that process, he grew from a baby to a toddler, to a tween, to a teen, to an adult. And there was a steady progression in his spirit. And then at the age of 30, John the Baptist came preaching, saying, "Here is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And he was ready. He was ready. God wants to be thorough with us. He wants to make us strong in spirit. We got to be able to take some stuff. I know I'm preaching to the choir tonight. You know, you've taken stuff your whole life, I'm sure. And we can probably reverse this thing. I can sit out there. Y'all can teach me a thing or two. But y'all know, you got to be able to take some stuff. You got to take some stuff in your purpose. You got to take some stuff on the job. Take some stuff in your family. Listen, if things are going to work, you have to be able to take some stuff. And so what I'm saying is, I'm glad that God has these slow times for us in life, where he takes us and he deals with our emotions. He deals with our spirituality. He leads us by still waters. Sometimes he speeds things up. Other times it's through the fire. Other times it's through the flood. Sometimes it's setback, it's betrayal. But all through that, he's working all things together for good, for the bigger picture. From the cradle to the cross, the beginning has to do with the silent period. And while there were no miracles and no walking on water, no raising of the dead, there was sure enough activity. The babe was born. And then the babe went into boyhood. And so we see all of these things during the silent period. Let me mention the second period in the second part. From the cradle to the cross, there's the middle part. And the middle part has to do with the serving period of his life. There's the silent period, and then there's the serving period. Now get this. The serving period only lasted 3 years. Isn't that something? Isn't that something how it can take an eternity for something to get here, something that you want. And once it does, it's over. I mean, just like that. 3 years was the length of his ministry. I think about how long it takes to make a movie. You know, it takes at least 2 years to make a good movie. And how long does it take for that movie's over? Hour and a half? I'm not bragging on me. I'll just say this because this has become an average for me in studying since I've been preaching and pastoring. On average, it's 6 hours for a sermon. But you know how long it takes to preach it? Brother Don, you already know this. 30, 45 minutes. If it's really in my heart, an hour. And so we see that a lot of work has to go into something in order for it to burn. In order for it to give light. There has to be a lot of investment in order for something to happen. It has to be 4 years in the earth before a tree starts to come and the fruit to bear. And so the serving period, it was a 3 year span. 30 years old to 33 years old. But I'll say this, the Lord can do a whole lot in a small amount of time. It didn't take no more than 3 years. We won't get into Bible numerology tonight, but three, there's purpose in the number three, like there is all the other numbers. But 3 years, 3 years. Two things stand out to me when it comes to this 3 years and what took place during his serving ministry, during his serving period. The people that were involved in Jesus' life during his serving period of that 3 years, that's something that stands out to me. Number one, because John the Baptist was known for what? Ultimately was known for what? Preparing the way. And so here you have a man that prepared the way for Jesus. I think about my life. I know you have people in your life down through the years who have helped pave the way for you, who's invested in you. People have invested in me, and I know that. I'm aware of that. John the Baptist, he prepared the way for Jesus during his serving period. Someone who was that figure that stands out, that made a difference. Praise the Lord for those who have helped prepare our ways. That those figures, whether it was a mom or a dad or a preacher or a pastor or teacher, someone in the community, I don't know, anybody who's come alongside you and helped be a blessing to you, helped prepare the way for you. That's what we see during the serving period, is that there were people involved in Jesus' life. Not only people were involved in Jesus' life, John the Baptist, but there were people that Jesus influenced during the serving period. We know the 12 apostles, but then there were many disciples. Some of them turned back and walked away, John 6:66. But because of his love, people followed him. Because of his patience, people followed him. He was forgiving and he was compassionate. Therefore, he had a tremendous positive influence on people. You know, tonight we have impacts on people. We influence people. The book of Philemon, Paul addresses Philemon. And I say this pretty often, it seems like, but Philemon was a man who refreshed the brethren. He was a refreshing Christian. He was someone who influenced someone and edified them like Barnabas was. He influenced. He was an encourager, Barnabas was. Philemon, I believe, was the same way. And that's what kind of Christian I want to be, is a refreshing Christian. Not a depressing Christian. Not one who complains, and not one who criticizes and talks about people. And when I say complain, I'm not talking about a genuine prayer request, by the way. I'm just talking about a genuine complainer who has no good intention. But during the serving period, there were people who Christ influenced. Let us be the same way. Let us rub off on others in a very good way tonight. So we see the influence Christ had on others with the people involved in his life. We see the introduction by John the Baptist. When it comes to the people involved in Jesus' life. But then another thing under the serving period that's notable not only the people that were involved, but the private times Jesus had. That's also notable during this 3-year serving period. Jesus separated himself many times to be with his Father, as you know. Many times he would separate himself. He was maybe on his preaching tour and not have eating all day. Just be tired and weary. He was the God-man in human flesh, and he would go off into a mountain apart to pray. Notice that terminology, apart. He went apart to pray. And I know this for a fact. If I don't go apart to pray, I'll come apart. You know that as well in your lives. You've been around long enough to know that. That there has to be this time alone with God. We got to plug in. We got to be able to draw something. The flesh won't do it. It fails us every time. So Jesus, a notable thing during his serving period, he separated himself to be with his Father and pray. The Lord taught his disciples how to pray. The Lord tells us to not stop praying. The Lord tells us alone time with God is vital to our spiritual well-being. So tonight, if we don't come apart, we'll come apart. The private times of Jesus that he had, the people involved in Jesus' life, all these things within the serving period. Again, from the cradle to the cross. We looked at the silent period, the beginning, birth to 30. We just looked at the serving period, the middle, 30 to 33. And then lastly, let's look at the sacrificial period, which is the end period. Of course, this was when he was 33. Some say 33 and a half. This period was the days leading up to the cross. Three things. I got a lot of sub-points on everything. I like outlining the Bible. Three things under the sacrificial period as Jesus was getting close to the cross. Number one, there was compliance to the Father's will. Matthew 26, in verse number 39, turn over there for a moment. We hadn't turned, I don't think we've turned anywhere yet, but one page. Matthew 26, 39. Of course, they were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John were asleep. He told them to sleep on. In verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. And so we see here that this verse hinges upon the nevertheless. Nevertheless. He was compliant. Regardless of how he felt. Regardless of the betrayal of Judas. Regardless of the sleeping three. He was compliant. He knew why he was there. He knew he was getting close to the cross. And so he had a nevertheless moment. It goes without saying, we all have those nevertheless moments. God, I know that you can, not sure if you will, but nevertheless, not mine will, but thine will be done. It's surrendering our ideas, our thoughts of how we think things ought to go and operate. And it's surrendering to God being in the pilot seat and God calling the shots. Listen, this isn't an easy place to get to. Jesus was in the garden, sweating as great drops of blood, and regardless of what he felt, he was compliant. He was compliant. Help us, Lord, to not be compliant no matter what area of life we're in. Help us be compliant. And I know different ages, there's different challenges. Like for you right now, you're not challenged, I'm sure, with a teenager living in your house, you know, and something, well, Miss Teresa is in the back for sure. Many teenagers and children. And so age, for the most part, comes different challenges. But the level grounds is compliance. Lord, I know you can, not sure if you will. Lord, I don't agree with this, but I'm trusting you. Nevertheless, it's wherever you're at in life and whatever the challenge is. There was compliance. And then number two, there was completion. We'll have you turn there, but in John chapter number 19 and verse 30, it wasn't too long ago we preached on the seven last sayings of Christ. But in John 19:30, he says, it is finished. And so he completed the Father's plan, the Father's will for him. He completed it because he was compliant. Compliant during the tough times. I know every one of us wants to complete God's will for our lives. You come too far to turn back. You come too far to do anything else other than just follow it through all the way. Just be compliant and just complete it. It is finished. Let's finish God's plan, God's will for our life, God's purpose. And then, very, very lastly, there was conquering. Jesus conquered the grave after it was finished. I said one time that the cross was a bittersweet experience because right before Jesus died, he had the sponge of vinegar touch his lips, and then he died. But it was bitter, but it was sweet because 3 days later, he rose from the grave. So many times there's a bittersweet experiences in life where we have a bitter ending, where there's a bitter experience, but also there can be a sweet experience as well along with that if we just trust the Lord. And so there was a risen Christ after that bitter experience on the cross. He conquered the cross. He conquered the grave. He conquered hell. He conquered the devil. And he has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And so the Lord is risen indeed. Death comes before resurrection. Always remember that. I have to remind myself of that. If I'm in need of spiritual power, if I'm in need of stability mentally, there has to be a resurrection. And Paul says that I die daily. Daily death brings daily resurrections. So I'm so grateful for that. This was the sacrificial period. The time leading up to the death on the cross, Jesus was compliant. He completed his task. He conquered the grave. The sacrificial period. Then the serving period, 30 to 33, and then the silent period, 0 to 30. Just a quick trip from the cradle to the cross tonight. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for all the things that you do for us. But Lord, we just praise you for, outside of those things, we just praise you for who you are. You're the God of all grace, the God of all comfort, the God of all hope. You're everywhere. You know all things. You have all power. You love unconditionally. You help us regardless. Your mercy is new every morning. Help us, Lord, to just confide in those truths concerning who you are. And Lord, when we go through those silent times, help us know that you're not slumbering, you're not asleep, but you're actively working. And you use agents in our life to bring about these things, and we're thankful for that. Be with us, keep us safe tonight, and bring us all back safely on Sunday morning, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Anything to mention before we close? All right, well, appreciate you listening so intently. Everyone have a blessed night.